Morning and welcome to the next in our series of discussions between myself, Craig Reebok, and Feroz Dada. I and Feroz both work on behalf of our new logoed backgrounds for the Sylvan Healing Sanctuary, www.sylvanhealing.org. And we've had some nice and some varied discussions over the last few weeks. And today's topic is entitled Free Will. I wanted to leave that hanging just for a moment because free will is a really complex concept, and yet it's also very simple. So I wondered, Feroz, if you would be willing to kick off and see where this discussion goes.
But good day, everybody, and welcome to Sylvan Healing. Craig, I just want to continue with the conversation you and I are having before this program, which is actually something we could open up and see if people have any comments to make. I think our discussion was whether these talks are more spiritual or they're more pragmatic or, are they more relevant? And it'd be interesting to know for people who listen to this, listen to these programs to guide us in the right direction. Rather than Craig and I discuss it, it'd be nice to get some input from the viewers. Now, turning to free will, you know, we're all blessed with this attribute where we can express ourselves both with our actions and our intentions to fulfill something that we want to do. But my question actually to you, Craig, is, to what extent are we really free in this society? I mean, are we really able to express our free will? So,
really, I throw this really nice question. Thank you. Thanks very much, Feroz. I see this as a little bit of a staircase of interpretation. I think that there is three versions. There's the society's free will, our own individual choices of free will as a human being, and the free will of our soul's journey, which is the deeper and really mystical type of statement. So let's talk about the first one. You know, I am blessed to be living in a pretty democratic country. I have mostly the freedom to go and say and do what I would like to do. And that is not upheld in the majority of the world. So I think that the sense of sending a heart and soul to those who control in the minority for those that are in the majority would change and evolve the individual at a much deeper level. Oppression is not a particularly pleasurable thing to be suffering. Second, the life choices. So even in that process of living within an organization, a country, etc., with a particular format, you have a choice. Do I get up at 8 o'clock? Do I get up at 7 o'clock? Do I have Cheerios for breakfast? Do I have eggs for breakfast? Do I have anything for breakfast? Those are simple day-to-day personal choices that can range from what do I eat, where do I go, what do I wear, who am I friendly with, who am I not friendly with, and why. And I think the third and the final one is the version of the soul's journey. You know, I've often seen my life as a series of a journey with bus stops on the route. There's one when you're 20, and there's another one at 25, and maybe another one at 30, and et cetera. Something in that sort of 7-yearly process of when there are bus stops. Now, whether you get off or not is your choice. And if you do get off, what do? Do you go to the shops? Do you go and have a wander around? Do you go and see what this country looks like? Do you go off the path? Do you choose to explore something from your own choice of this is what I would like to do. But the journey and the destination is still there. You have to get back on the bus at some other time and follow on the journey. Okay. So I suppose I would hypothesize a little bit that we have a free will of a soul's journey, which is sort of there in an imprint, and we can get on and get off when we like, but at the end of the day, we have to follow the path.
So you have actually sort of thrown us in the deep end here by by bringing the soul into play, which of course is a subject which is deep. But my question really is this, can you express your free will, or is it right or wise to express your free will without having a plan of some type? You know, you mentioned the word path. So do you think that people need to know what their plan is? Why am I here? Type of question. What am I doing? Then to begin exercising their free will, you know, to get on that bus, as you put it, and get on and off. So I think without a plan, and some people might call that plan destiny. So I think without and sort of bringing the subject of destiny into play, I wonder if we can really talk about, not we can talk about, but it's not complete to say I'm just exercising free will, having coffee in the morning, you know, or whatever. But there has to be a little bit of a plan of our journey. Would you agree, Craig?
Well, yes, is the answer to that. But I think it's deeper than that. I don't think it's quite as simple. No, in the simplistic Western format, you go to school. You then go to university if you're fortunate, you go to work, you educate, you have a relationship, you may have children, you support and you watch and you nourish and you nurture those relationships. You come to a point where you stop working, you reflect upon life's journey. I mean, that's a plan. You know, how you live, how you eat. That's generally the ideology that is, I'm going to say, sold to us in our society. But what about the relationships that we have and the experiences? And, you know, you talk about destiny. What's the lesson? For me, the journey is a lesson.
Of course it is. Indeed it is. However, you know, if you want to learn lessons, you've got to decide probably, do I want to do science or do I want to do accountancy or whatever? You know, you have to follow a path and then begin to learn the lessons. I'm just putting it in a way that what lessons you want to learn, how you learn them, you would have to have a little bit of a destination. Let me throw this with you. First question really is, how much free will do we really have in this society? And I'll give you a little story. I remember one of my friends from Burma came outside this country, outside Burma, first time in his life. And I met him in Rome. And he was in the civil rights movement, and he was being pursued by the army for 20 years. He lived in the jungle for 20 years. Then we were walking down Rome. And he said, how did you get here? I said, I came with my car. And I'm sorry, I'm late. I had to park it. I had to get a permit, whatever. And he said, you know, Feroz, you guys have no freedom. Everything you do, there's a law. You know, you can't go out and park a car. You can't watch the television without a license. You pay taxes on everything you do, you know, from running a car to making money, to dying, to living. And he said, this is not freedom. I had more freedom when I was running away in the jungle. I had freedom. That was real freedom. Although I was being pursued by the army, I still felt the freedom. So I guess, Craig, the first thing I'm saying is that this freedom of ours in this present society is hugely restricted, both in thought and in action. The second thing, which is a question really, and a quote from an Indian philosopher, he said, life is like a game of cards. The hand you're dealt with is your destiny. The way you play it is free will. In a sense, my question is, how much of life is destiny and how much is free will? Question to you, my friend.
Yeah, I think we're actually talking about the same thing in a slightly different way. You know, when I referred to lessons, I wasn't specifically thinking about school lessons or history lessons or accountancy lessons. I was actually thinking of the relationships in life and the lessons of how our actions and our reactions and our responsibility to ourselves, to our family, to our fellow man, to the way we act and to the way that we think and feel. You know, sometimes people are beautiful in the way they are seen in public, but when they go home and behind the closed doors, the monster comes out. You know, where's the learning? Where is the growth? Where's the change? How do you learn to be understanding about yourself and take responsibility? So I think the lessons are much more deeply about the who we are as a human being and how we act and react and learn and grow. To answer your first question is, I agree. We are restricted. We are controlled. We are ever so more monitored and videoed and photographed and checked. There's no doubt about that. The one time that you can actually get a sense of that is if you have had the pleasure of lying on a beach. After about 7 or 8 days, you may turn to somebody who you're with and go, what day is it? Have you ever had that experience? You suddenly lose track of the day and the date. That's because you are living within a freedom of not being defined by the construct. And it doesn't take very long. But I agree with you.
Very good. I think it's a rare moment to say that we agree with each other. But my question, really, the second part of my question, Craig, is this: that a lot of people, and you know, you and I both know some such people, even in our organization, that they think destiny is everything. In other words, the whole thing is a plan, and we don't need to really do very much or influence very much of our part in the world. And, you know, mañana, you know, what will be, because it's all written. And here lies this tension, I would call that, between free will and destiny, in a sense.
I agree.
How much of that do you believe, that our lives are shaped by the cards we are dealt with?
So first of all, you must have read my notes that I wrote this morning. And I have a little arrow in between the two concepts that I was dialoguing today. And I referred to the tension of opposites, which is actually a very well-known Jungian terms. And it is the tussle of being pulled in the different directions between the pragmatic and a deeper version. You know, when I was first presented with the idea of free will and as a concept for me to think about, I was a relatively young man and I went, no, that doesn't make, you know, I'm not going to wait for somebody to tell me what time the bus is arriving. I've got to get on the bus. The bus is going to arrive at 9 o'clock and, you know, somebody's going to guide me to the bus at that time. There is this sense of a balance of this tension of opposites, in my opinion. The way I have managed this word is that there is, I sense, some guiding direction. This internal question that most of us will listen to. Or we may even know that it's there and it's nagging away. We can't quite put our finger on it. I never think that it's a clear image of what that question is. I do think you have to find it to understand it. However, knowing that there is a direction and a set of plans doesn't necessarily detract from the fact that we still have to live day to day. So how do we interweave that? And I think that that's where the tension of opposites are. To give up my whole sense and saying something larger will manifest and drive me to a place of my life. For some, that is good enough. And for some people, that is what they want to do in their life. There are plenty of people that enter the monastic life or in order to devote themselves and give up their choices in order to devote themselves. That in its own right, is that a choice? Is it a question? Is it a listening to their inner journey?
Very good. I mean, at this point, we begin to slightly disagree, which is fine. I actually believe that the concept of free will and destiny is not one of opposites. Because once you begin, it's a bit like light and day, you know, night and day, if you like. It isn't that. Because if you begin to think of it as a tension, then it creates a tension. But if you want to flow through life, you may think of free will and destiny as both ends of the light spectrum. One is maybe dark at times, one is lighter at times. It's just shades of light. And as you exercise your free will, destiny comes closer and closer. It doesn't go further and further. If you do nothing, destiny is not going to be there for you. Destiny is not waiting for things to happen. This destiny is your destination on the exercise of your free will. And as you exercise your free will, it becomes closer and closer to your destiny. I think we're saying the same thing, but in a slightly more, a slightly different way. So I think to bring it as opposites is creates a tension, but to say it's the same, it creates the journey easier. You have to act.
So can you define what you mean by exercising your free will?
Meaning if I wish to, help the monastery that I work with in Burma. And I've seen this in my life over the 12 years. As I exercise my efforts, people and the universe recognizes these efforts as being sincere and meaning well. And that's why the destiny, either the outcome, the result, if you like, comes closer to you, because people and the universe, in a pragmatic sense, people will rotate towards you and will help you because they recognize that you're making an effort. Equally, if you believe in the spiritual aspect of this, the universe will conspire. And I see this all the time, little gifts, little opportunities. You know, you're thinking one thing and there it's in front of you. Doors open when they would never have opened. So that's why I'm saying the destiny, the destination and the effort, provided it's good effort, you know, for good reason. No, I want money in my pocket. Then they come together because the universe, people, human beings recognize this and will come and help you and help the cause, more importantly, rather than help you. And it becomes more of a cause than a personal motive. And then people join in that journey, join in that will. And so we begin to go closer to our destination. So that's an example of exercising free will in a positive and pragmatic way.
Well, I would probably say my last comment on this subject is it's aligning with your soul's evolution.
Love that.
Maybe we can just leave the subject, which is not as clear-cut a subject as to how one exercises or finds or understands. But maybe hopefully today we have shared some thoughts for people to think about.
That was wonderful. Great. Thank you.
Thank you, Feroz. And again, for those that are listening, on behalf of Sylvan Healing Sanctuary, we look forward to being with you again on the next conversation.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Greg. Cheers.